This is a production of Cornell University.
So the time is now 12:16. I'm going to call this meeting to order. I don't see that Michelle is here with us for roll call. So I'm going to try to pull up.
I can do roll call for you if you'd like.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Sure. Just get my page going here. Okay. Susan Berry. Joseph Canella.
Present.
Great. Maren Cherry.
Here.
Jackie Krecky.
Here.
Hey, hey, DePew.
Present.
Jamie Duong.
Hi.
Brenda Fisher. Brandon Fortenberry. Brian Goodell.
I'm here. Brandon's here too. I see him in the thing.
Okay. Andrea Hanlon Mott.
Here.
Deborah Howell.
Here.
Emily Ivory.
Present.
Rigel Lochner.
Here.
Karen Loparco.
Here.
Christine Mahoney.
Here.
Virginia McCauley. Jen Michael.
Here.
Ashley Miller. Ellen Miller.
Present.
Mary Newhart.
Present.
Michelle Podolak.
Here.
Nasser Siedat.
Present.
Kate Supron.
I'm here.
Kit Tannenbaum.
Here.
Laura Taylor. Jessica Townley. Jessica Withers.
Here.
Lisa Zacharias. That is the roll, and you do have quorum.
Thank you. All right, let's move on to approval of the minutes from February 3rd, 2021. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from February 3rd, 2021? Brian has his hand raised. Do I get a second? Kate, Rigel, do I have any dissent? Seeing none, the minutes from February 3rd are approved by unanimous consent. Let's move on to business of the day. Let us discuss resolution number seven. So resolution number seven is postponing spring 2021 election. So I'm going to provide the floor to Nasser, who will discuss resolution number seven.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. So EAR seven is a short four or five sentence resolution consistent with the university is the challenges in the calendar being pushed back. Universities facing similar to last year, and University Assembly postponing their organizational meeting. This just allows us to do so for the EA. And the reason is because in the bylaws, there's a date that says the organizational meeting to be no later than April 15. So to move that requires a resolution. And last year's resolution was the EAR 6. And so it's a short one pager. Thank you to everyone who worked on it, and Jamie and Ellen and Gina for helping figure out the calendar and some of the quirks. I think it's pretty straightforward. Hey, is there anything else that you recommend addressing, or if there's any questions anyone has?
Yeah, at this point we can bring forth any questions if you want to discuss this resolution. I'm going to open the floor for questions, comments. Brian?
Yeah, I just want to add that it passed unanimous consent at the elections committee meeting.
Thank you, Brian. Any other questions or commentary? I believe the vote for this would move into new business if that's what we're going to end up doing. But for this portion of the meeting, we're only going to sort of discuss it, bring up any questions. Jessica?
I was just going to let Nasser know that last night the University Assembly passed their schedule, and May 11th is the organizational meeting, just as a note, not a requested change. Otherwise, looks good.
Thank you, Jessica. Any other comments, feedback? If there are none, we can move on to resolution R8. This is updates to the George Peter Award for Dedicated Service. This is sponsored by Ellen, so I'm going to send the floor over to Ellen.
Hello, everyone. The resolution was revised and approved in the Communications Committee yesterday to present to you today. I did upload the link that you received on your agenda with the new documents. So if you haven't looked at that since yesterday, it's different than when Michelle sent out the original agenda, but it has been updated there. And the premise for this resolution is really just to update, no major changes, just to update and clarify some of the information related to the George Peter Award for Dedicated Service, which we would like to launch as soon as March 1st, if everyone is on board with these changes in the resolution. So for those of you who may not be aware, the George Peter Award for Dedicated Service is the longest running and most prestigious university-wide peer nominated award for staff. Since its inception in 1980, the award has been conferred to over 190 Cornell employees. The Cornell Assembly, the Employee Assembly would like to continue this longstanding tradition with these refined terms, eligibility, and criteria as presented in the resolution. The major changes to note are that, let me just scroll down to the results clauses. The original wording for the eligibility of staff has been updated. Where are my notes, Nicole, that I am presenting to you? The original verbiage stated that all Cornell staff who are employed on a full-time basis or have been designated half-time for a period of 5 or more years are eligible for consideration for this award. We updated the wording to all full-time Cornell staff members with 5 or more years of service are eligible for consideration of this award. The update is in response to the fact that this is a very prestigious award, and we would want the employees to have been committed to the university for a minimum of 5 years. And this came to light in previous EA sessions where we discussed the need for employees with longer service terms at the university to be recognized for that. So we wanted to be sure that the employee who will be receiving the award has that commitment to the university. In addition, we added some refinement to the selection criteria, which are excellence in the performance of assigned duties, dedication to job or work group that goes above and beyond expectations, respect for the contributions of staff at all levels, commitment to lifelong learning, and having a positive impact on the university. And there are some notes if you look in the box link on the attachment that we've attached to the resolution. There are some side notes in the column that explains a little bit about why we've changed the wording or added additional wording to that. And then finally, as in the original governing documents for the Employee Assembly, we're just reiterating that the any updates to criteria, timing, and communications of the award as needed over time do fall under the purview of the committee who is currently handling oversight of awards and recognition. Previously, we just added that clause because previously it stated the Awards and Recognition Committee, which no longer exists. It's currently being handled in the Communications Outreach and Recognition Committee. So those are the updates, and really overall, we just think it's a really positive award and a really great opportunity for staff. And given the recent feedback that we received from the priorities poll and just general sense of how people are feeling in these times, recognizing your peers and recognizing employees who are really going above and beyond is so important in this time. So we wanna make sure we can get this award launched, get it off the ground running, get some nominees in and move forward with it. So with that said, does anyone have any specific questions or things to discuss in regards to the resolution?
Thank you, Ellen. The floor is open for any questions, comments, feedback. I just want to say thank you so much, Ellen, for taking this on and for really putting this to the forefront. I know that recognition right now, especially when morale for a lot of staff members is very low, I think it's pretty crucial. So any questions, comments, or concerns for Ellen in regards to R8? Seeing none, let's move on to the next business of the day, which is staff forums update. Just going to admit Laura Taylor. So staff forums, we have an upcoming staff forum. This was previously titled Civil Discourse. It has since changed, I think, in discussions with Mary Opperman. I think there's some sensitivity around the term civil discourse. So it has effectively been changed. Let me just pull up the exact new title of it. I really should know this. Let's see. It's going to be Community Building, Engaging in Difficult Conversations. The panelists are the same. The content is the same, really giving tips and tools for staff members to consider how we engage with others in conversations, especially when a lot of the subject matter might be really difficult, it might be very divisive. I think there are going to be, talks about methods, strategies. We're gonna talk about freedom of speech. We have a faculty member joining us from the law school who will be talking about civil discourse in the context of freedom of speech. So I'm hoping that it'll be a really productive conversation with Mary Opperman, Angela Winfield, Reginald White, who I believe is here with us. We've got Ari from the intergroup, Addy from the intergroup dialogue project, and we have a faculty member who is, I really should know this. I believe his name is Nelson. In any case, that will be the upcoming panel discussion. We are going to have, I believe we discussed this at several employee assembly meetings ago in regards to a senior leadership staff forum. The consensus through the email chain that we had was if there was any new information coming up or perhaps there was a milestone coming up, we would like to have senior leadership. So Mary Opperman, Martha Pollack, Ryan Lombardi come to the table and sort of discuss and have that open dialogue. So we're coming up on the 1-year milestone. So we're going to work with senior leadership to try to provide a 1-year review of us in COVID and then look towards the future. What does the future hold, knowing all of the things that we know from this past year and then moving forward. So there's that, and also a potential finance staff forum that we're trying to arrange with Joanne DiStefano and Paul Streeter. Paul Streeter is retiring at the end of this fiscal year. I know there's a nationwide search. His work has been really important, crucial, especially back during the recession. He's done quite a bit to sort of steer us in the right direction. So it'll be nice to sort of see him, speak to him, also thank him for all of his service, and also hear about financial updates. So those are the three panel discussions and staff forums that are on the horizon. The end of this term is the end of May. So there is potentially space for one more staff forum. So I really leave it up to you to sort of, provide any feedback on that if you wish. Ellen, your hand is raised.
Yes, I don't want to snatch this away from Nassar, but I did see on his proposed schedule for the elections, if we are to move forward with the resolution changes, there is the possibility for a EA forum with candidates for the election, which I think would be a really awesome opportunity if we have time to kind of pull it together. I don't know if Nasser wants to say anything else about that, but I love the idea if it's possible.
Oh, that's a great idea. Nasser, do you have any comments on this?
Yeah, so that's something that we're going to be discussing in the upcoming meeting, but trying to build in some of those meetings prior to the elections and really just concentrating on targeted get out the word initiatives. You know, we have a lot of new seats. We have the new BIPOC seat. I believe Reginald and Angela, Reginald's on us with us today, have agreed to, you know, lend their voice to getting out the word in the different communities. And this would be part of that that Ellen's talking about. So hopefully election committee members and non-election committee members, everyone would be willing to take part in that. And we'll put together something more tangible and field out folks' interests, if not this week, then the next week. Thanks so much, Ellen.
Thank you both. Are there any additional questions or comments about the staff forums, the panel discussions? All right, seeing no hands raised, then let's move on to committee reports. Let's start off with the executive committee. Michelle?
The executive committee met on the 11th of February. Jamie discussed the colleague network group and had provided us with some dates for inviting the LGBTQ plus panel and disabilities and veterans colleague network group. So the dates are now going to be March 17th for the disability and the veterans group. And then the LGBTQ plus is going to be April 7th. And he'll provide that information for Wendy. We did discuss having Dan Moss at our meeting today. He's the associate director for environmental health and safety, I believe weather. And unfortunately his schedule did not allow for him to join us today. So hopefully it looks like our next few meetings are quite booked up with other guests, but we'll try to squeeze them in so that if any of our constituents and EA members have any questions about whether the weather policy, maybe making it clear for remote workers, et cetera, then that'll be our opportunity to talk about that with Dan. We discussed this, the upcoming staff forums, which Hey just reviewed. And then I think we had a conversation about duties for staff forums and then the clarity on our role on the roles for those. And so I think we'll have a conversation, further conversation and discussion on the roles. So in fact, I'm not clear as to who the moderator is for the upcoming one or who's going to be moderating the questions and answers. So it would be great if we did have a clearly defined process on those staff forums and who's taking the lead and who's doing what roles and then communicating that to the entire employee assembly body. So, and then we discussed the retreat, generating the Qualtrics retreat feedback forum. So thank you to those who've had a chance to fill out the feedback, and we'll take all of your responses and collate them and share them with the group again.
Sounds good. Ellen, your hand is raised.
Yes, in response to your comments about the moderating and questions for the forum, I did mention this in the past when we discussed forums, that I think it would be a great idea to take volunteers from within the full EA body who may want to take on these roles with the forums. It's nice to see new fresh faces and for everyone to have the opportunity and to get out there and face their constituents. So like Michelle said, I'm not sure if that's already been set for this upcoming forum, but I think it's something that we really should consider for future forums going forward so that everyone in the EA body has the opportunity to participate if that's something that they're interested in doing.
Thank you. I think for now, typically I will moderate. And then I think for the Q&A portion, we usually have the vice chair moderate, but I think it's a good idea, as Ellen mentioned, to have other people participate. In the past, we've had Marin help with questions. I believe we've had Lisa Zacharias help with questions. So if anybody is interested, feel free to get in touch with me and we'll try to arrange that. So I do like the idea of people participating and being engaged in this process. And I agree with you, Michelle. I think Jean and I had spoken about the process for staff forums and panel discussions. And I think we're gonna try to work on maybe like a template or some sort of, you know, maybe documentation of how all of these run so that as we move on to, you know, new executive committee members and new EA members, we have a clear understanding of, you know, what everybody's role is. So I think that'll be pretty helpful as a resource. Are there any other questions or comments for the executive committee? Seeing no hands raised, I'm going to move on to the communications and awards committee. Ellen.
Hello again, everyone. You're listening to me chatter a bunch today. yesterday we met. We've been meeting regularly every 2 weeks. We did release the February EA Voice newsletter today. So if you haven't had a chance to see that yet, check your inbox, it's there. We featured Brandon Fortenberry, and there was an article about student campus life and their participation in and really their overall accomplishment of this spring move-in for the semester. We did highlight the staff forum that's coming up and some other things. So if you haven't had a chance, take a look. And I always welcome feedback and ideas for upcoming newsletters. We're aiming for March 15th as our next newsletter. So if anyone has any feedback from previous newsletters that we should take into consideration or any ideas for articles or information to be included on the next newsletter, please let me know. We focused on the awards and recognition very heavily recently, following from our EA retreat that we had, where we talked about the priorities poll and the necessity of that being really put to the forefront, because staff are, you know, they're burned out, they're busy, they're overworked, they're ready to be recognized. We need to recognize them, they deserve it. So putting that awards and recognition really to the forefront of our committee recently, in the revisions to the George Peter Award that I mentioned earlier today, we're also starting revisions on the award that was previously known as the Auberman Award. That will be renamed and relaunched. So we're working on getting that going. And I just found this out yesterday. So even committee members, this is an announcement for you. We are happily going to be welcoming Kim Bambuka and Ashley Miller to our March 3rd meeting, where they're going to talk about university appreciation programs that are currently in place, including the Presidential Excellence Awards, the Appreciation Portal, and other venues that are out there for our staff appreciation, and basically ways in which the EA can partner with them to get those initiatives going. And that's, I think, the main focus of what we've got going on right now. Let me just check my wonderful note taker, Jessica. Let me just check her notes that she took and see if there's anything else worth mentioning. But I think, nope, that pretty much covers it. Thank you, everyone.
Brian, did you have a question? I saw your hand was raised.
Yeah, I'm typing it in. I'm gonna send it to Ellen separate.
All right, okay. Thank you, Brian.
Thanks.
I just want to say, Ellen, I've gotten a lot of really great feedback in regards to the newsletter, which just went out today. So thank you so much for all your hard work on this and consistently keeping, you know, employees, not just employee assembly members, you know, notified and on all the great work that's happening. So thank you so much. Let's move on to the Education Committee. Jessica.
So not nothing exciting, nothing big to report. We meet this afternoon. So we have not met since the last time. But I do want to say one thing. I was cleaning up some loose ends and just looking over stuff after the EA retreat. And I recalled that in the bylaws, the education committee it's suggested they invite non-voting members from some central departments. So I went ahead and did that. So we will have Ari Mack from Organizational Development has joined the education committee. And Emily Ivory, who is already on the committee, agreed to switch to a non-voting role so she can represent the School of Continuing Ed for us. And I think I'm excited about that because I think those will be great partners. And that's what I was very clear about when I contacted the departments, was that I'm not looking for these people to necessarily attend every single meeting, but to be like a partner and someone we can talk through ideas with. So I think that will help as we move forward with the rest of this semester. That is my entire report.
Thank you, Jessica. Andrea, your hand is raised.
We had Ari come and do a staff retreat for our department, and he was fabulous, really, really good. So he's going to be a terrific addition to your team.
Great. We did have one staff member contact us about joining the committee, so we now have a staff member on our education committee as well. Thanks, Andrea.
Sounds good. Thank you. Any other questions for Jessica? Seeing no hands raised, let's move on to the Welfare Committee with Christy.
Hello. We had a really great discussion today in follow-up to the presentation Linda Kroll Howell gave us on the Belonging at Cornell survey data. We will be reaching out to Angela Winfield, asking her to come to a future meeting, to discuss the possible initiatives and action plan. There is a toolkit published with the survey data online, but taking that one step further, getting closer to manager response to what the data is telling work groups, departments, colleges. Additionally, we talked about work from home transition to either what was presented as possibly a hybrid model and some challenges considerations about returning or transitioning back. We will be inviting Linda to come visit us after the second survey. So there's a survey that's going to be released at the beginning of March to all staff, a follow-up survey on working from home. You might remember receiving one, I guess it was last fall. After that survey is released and the results come in, we'll be inviting her back to that meeting. And pushing forward on partnering with some of the HR initiatives that are coming up. There will be a university memorial event sometime in April. Pretty exciting concept of virtual event that will allow the community to come together in a collective way to acknowledge loss, particularly staff, faculty, student losses during this pandemic period. There will be a push for staff wellness days, focusing on creating space and time that align with the student wellness days that are in March and April. And then there is some talking about a pandemic anniversary event. So March 20th is the day we all went home officially, and the university is working on creating an acknowledgement of that date. So more to come.
Any questions? Seeing no hands raised, I'm going to move on to the Benefits and Policy Committee. Brian?
Hello, everyone. So the BPC is scheduled to meet on the 23rd next week. And we've got a pretty full agenda. We haven't met since the 10th. That was the last time. So I gave an update on that. One of the things that I wanted to share, I thought was really kind of cool, is I don't know if everybody, I talked to Tanya Grove about the PD process. And it was brought up during one of our meetings. And during our meeting, I talked about some of the initiatives that the group thought that we got to, preparing for performance dialogues to take into consideration a pandemic. She thought that was a great suggestion too. And as you guys, if you've read the newsletter from Mary Opperman's comment on the faculty and staff nudes, she included it. So I was really excited that they took something that the group put together and already moved it forward and gave acknowledgement to that. So I'm really happy about that. So that was pretty spectacular, I think, actively engaging and helping out. So thank you everyone for that. And like I said, we have a packed agenda. We're looking forward to meeting on the 23rd.
Thank you, Brian. Any questions, concerns, comments? See a hand clap, that's great. Seeing no hands raised, I'm going to move on to the Elections Committee. Nasser?
All right, so we are in the season of elections, so now we will be meeting bi-weekly in the off weeks of the general meeting. So we met last Monday, discussed primarily EAR7 and considerations of that, finalized that. And then in the discussion, it came up that several members raised concerns relating to signature requirements in light of COVID, and if there are signature requirements that are going to be done electronically this year, unlike last year, then what concerns could arise as barriers to access to frontline workers. And so there was discussion around that. And so a Qualtrics survey has gone out to all the members of the committee. It takes 5 minutes. Hopefully folks can fill that out if you haven't already in anticipation of Monday's meeting. We'll consolidate some of the responses and the votes going forward on those and facilitate and streamline what has been good discussion and continue to make decisions moving forward. And then also will be on the table is the Cal seats, as well as an immediate priority right now on how to move forward in light of the recent resignation. So we'll be meeting Monday. And that's all the report for now.
Thank you, Nasser. Are there any questions, comments, concerns? I'm seeing no hands raised. Then let's move on to new business. So at this point, this is a time for open discussion. We can bring back any of the resolutions that we had brought up in business of the day for a vote. I would need somebody to make a motion to vote to pass a resolution. So I open up the floor to all of y'all. Okay, Nasser, your hand is raised.
Yes, I move to vote on EAR7.
Okay, so I have a motion to vote on EAR7. Do I have a second? Ellen, was your hand raised? All right. So now we're going to vote. If you will go to your REAC. Okay, wait, hold on. Joe, is your hand raised?
Just in favor of the motion.
Okay, great. Thank you. So in reactions, there are all these emojis. If you want to vote yes, please select yes now on EAR7. So I will count your vote. So EAR7 again is to postpone spring 2021 elections. So did we have all of the votes, Sheena?
No, I think if you could just hit the yes, it's the green check mark under
they vanish shortly after.
Yeah, it looks like not everyone has downloaded the most recent update, so the yes is not staying on the screen. You have to download the most recent update of Zoom in order for your yes to stay. We always have these voting conundrums.
So Gina, how do you recommend we count these votes since they are disappearing?
I would say everybody who is voting yes, just raise your hand and I'll do a quick count right now on the screen.
I'm also seeing yes. in participants and reactions, it just had a thumbs up. So I'm not sure we're talking about the same locations.
It's all based on the version of Zoom that you have. So it's really important to keep the most recent version updated.
Okay.
And if you're using it online, I don't know what happens then. I use the app. So if you're using it online, it could be different too. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you have a count?
I have those. If you want to call for the, any opposed.
Any opposed, please raise your hand. Physically raise your hand if you're opposed. I do not see. Oh, wait, Andrea, is your hand raised for opposed? Oh, no. Okay.
Virginia? You're okay.
I'm
okay.
Not opposed. And, I'm fine.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And any abstentions?
I believe Brandon Fortenberry is an abstention. He has another meeting at the same time.
And are you abstaining as chair?
Sure.
Okay, I had it 23-0-2.
Great. So with this vote, this resolution passes. So 23-0-2?
Yep.
Okay, great. So resolution 7, postponing spring 2021 elections passes by a vote of 23-0-2. Thank you all for all your hard work on this. Moving on, is there a motion on the floor to vote on resolution R8, updates to the George Peter Award for Dedicated Service?
I move to vote on resolution R8, updates to the George Peter Award for Dedicated Service.
Thank you. Do I get a second? Brian's hand is raised. So again, if your vote is yes on R8, please physically raise your hand and Gina will take a vote.
Gina has her hand up. Is there com? Oh, okay.
She was giving an example.
Okay, any opposed?
Please raise your hand if you oppose this resolution.
And any abstentions?
Again, Brandon will abstain.
Again, 23-0-2.
Okay, great. So by a vote 23-0-2, resolution R8 passes. Thank you all for your hard work on this. Moving on to the next portion of this meeting, which is just open discussion. Is there anything that anybody wants to bring to the floor? Any topics, any work that maybe you want the opinion of the broader EA membership on, please feel free to raise your hand physically or using the reactions button. See, okay, Gina?
Related to all the voting, if you are able to download to your desktop the latest version of Zoom 5.5.1, we're going to try and get everybody on all of the assemblies to download that so that we can have some consistent voting. Right now, there's several different iterations depending on which version you have as to whether or not your hand stays up, can go up at all. So, and if you can't, then we'll find a workaround. But if you can't, please let me know so that we know we're not assuming that everybody does have the latest version. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other items that you all want to bring to the floor for open discussion?
Gina, when did they update? Because I just updated last week and my hand didn't stay up neither.
And I was this like, week.
This week they just updated, no wonder. Jeez.
They did. I think it really was in response to the outcry of the persistent hand raising, that people were using Zoom in ways that the Zoom people didn't realize. And so they responded pretty quickly to it.
Wow, geez. Thank you.
Ellen, your hand is raised.
Yes, and my dogs are barking, so sorry if you hear them. I'm not sure if Michelle did mention this already in her executive committee meeting. I was shuffling papers around our executive committee report. So sorry if it's a repeat, but I just wanted to remind everyone that President Pollack will be at our next EA meeting on March 3rd. So be ready with committee reports and with any questions that you may have for her.
Thank you, Ellen. I want to also piggyback on that. It is a great time for us to engage with President Pollack. She usually likes to ask that the committee chairs provide an update on the work that they've been doing. I think it's a great time to talk about, you know, maybe some takeaways from the retreat or, you know, some meetings or any sort of partnerships you're engaging in now. It's a good time to ask her questions, ask her for her, you know, opinions on the work that's, you know, been occurring. So it's just a great opportunity to have dialogue similar to what we had with Mary Opperman. I think it's just a great opportunity for engagement. So feel free to come prepared with questions that you might have. And if you're a chair of a committee, please be prepared to provide an update to President Pollack. So Joe, your hand is raised.
I know that the LGBTQ+ colleague network group is excited to come to talk to the EA. We have a board meeting coming up. Is there anything that you would like me to take back to that board meeting in terms of questions you're curious about? You know, what would you like to know so that the attendees can be prepared to answer those questions?
Joe, that's a great question. So I'm raising my hand and also bringing up a point. So when Linda Crowell Howell came to one of the committee meetings, I think it was a joint welfare and benefits and policy meeting, she brought Belonging at Cornell data. And one of the things that really stood out was across demographics, most people, even minorities, felt that they belonged at a relatively similar rate, except for two groups. It was the people with disabilities group and then transgender non-binary, those populations felt that they didn't belong at Cornell as much as the others do. So in terms of how the employee assembly can help support those, you know, marginalized groups, what are some suggestions? What are some potential pathways forward that they can kind of recommend to us? Because thinking about belonging at Cornell, if there are groups that don't feel like they belong, how can we help support them would be, you know, what I would think about, you know. So that would sort of be my question. Ellen?
I'm sorry, just to Ellen, if you don't mind. I'm not certain that members of the colleague network group have access to that kind of data at that kind of disaggregate level. The Belonging at Cornell survey is up there, but the questions are answered in the aggregate. And when you look in the toolkit, it says, if your unit scored X below this benchmark, then here are some ideas and tips for you. And it, as Brian said, there are good tips there, but we don't know where our individual units stand or where the LGBTQ+ community stands specifically in that aggregate pool. Hopefully we can get some of that information in advance, but if you ask that question of any of the CNG board members, save for perhaps Anthony Siss, I don't know that any of us would be able to answer it. So I'll see what digging I can do, but.
Thank you. I think really at the heart of it, I'm trying to figure out, is there anything that, you know, this colleague network group would suggest the employee assembly can do to assist? If there are glaring issues, what are they, you know, in terms of belonging here at Cornell? Andrea, I see your hand is raised, but I think Ellen's hand was raised first. So I'm gonna send it to Ellen, then Andrea.
Joe, I just wanted to say, I think you mentioned it to us at a meeting before, and I know you sent us some info by email. You mentioned that the colleague network group is open to all members of the Cornell community, regardless of your preferences and your identification. And yep. You had invited, I think there was like a coffee hour or something that you had invited us to, and I couldn't make it to that one. But like those types of events, I would love to be kind of more in the loop about them, and I'm happy to share as well if there are any others that come up. If you would like me to utilize our communication channels, I'm happy to do so.
That would be great. Certainly we have information going out through the LGBTQ plus resource center, their staff newsletter. Chrissy D'Alfonso has been really helpful with us, but I can certainly make sure that you're included in that loop, Ellen, so that, that you can help us get the word out. That would be fabulous. We have talked specifically about having events that are geared for allies, not just members of our community, but members of the Cornell community as a whole. So I think that would be a great idea for us to partner with.
Yeah.
To partner with. Yeah.
Thank you both. Andrea?
Yeah, I just wanted to speak to this particular issue because members of the Disability College Network group are planning on coming on March 17th to the EA meeting. And so we'll be doing some prep work with a couple of leads, and I'm part of that executive board, and we'll have some discussions about it. But I think regardless of the data, I think talking about the engagement, there's really absolutely no surprises, in my opinion, that they were data from Belonging was where it's at to be able to do. So I think we can certainly speak to that. The impact of employee assembly initiatives related to having disability be an engagement, I think will be certainly components that we will talk about regardless of what the data says and the information that we receive from Linda. I think it's one of those things. It will be interesting to see how it's handled at the meeting that is prior to, I think it's the, what, March 5th or March 3rd, was it? Is the next one where Joe and the LGBTQ plus will be at. So it will be interesting, but I think there's many opportunities for discussion that can happen regardless of what the data says, but the data certainly is helpful.
Thank you. Any comments, feedback on that?
Jamie, can you correct me if I'm wrong, but since Martha Pollock is coming on the 3rd, LGBTQ plus is coming on April 7th, am I right?
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other comments? Ellen, I see you've unmuted yourself.
I'm just going to shout out to a new Cornell employee, Obina, who has joined us today at the meeting. I hope that you enjoyed your time with us and that it was interesting for you, and welcome to Cornell.
Thank you so much, Ellen. I really appreciate that. It was extremely informative, and please forgive me for turning off my video. I was also slightly just overwhelmed with all the information, so I just didn't want to have my face off there. But I really, truly appreciate the welcome, and thank you so much for the back and forth in terms of the email correspondence. I really feel welcomed, and I appreciate it.
Thank you, Abina. Kit, I see your hand is raised.
I was looking over the last agenda for the EA meeting, and I know we had an inclement weather event this week, albeit not as substantial as our last one. And when I was looking over the agenda from last week, it seems like, I guess I'm wondering where we are with that, like in terms of addressing the university response to storms. My understanding is that I think there's supposed to be some other winter thing happening tomorrow as well. So I will say I did receive a communication from the university that they were monitoring the situation, which was definitely appreciated this time. And I wanted to get a pulse check on where the EA actually is with that.
Thank you, Kit. So we had invited Dan Moss, who works in emergency, let me look this up. We've invited him to come to the employee assembly to kind of talk about inclement weather. What are some metrics that they look at when they think about a closure And we're just trying to get some time on his calendar. So he's the Associate Director of Office Emergency Management. So we're trying to get him on the calendar to talk to us about, you know, how that decision gets made, what are some things that they look at. And then from there, hopefully that'll answer some questions that we have. If we still have additional things that we want to do, we can definitely bring it to one of the committees and have them take a deeper look at it. But for now, I think that was sort of the plan that as I saw it.
Great, thank you. Thank you for working on that. That sounds great.
Okay, thank you. Any other topics that people want to bring? If there are none, it is 1:06. We can make a motion to end this meeting early if there are no other topics to bring forward.
Sure. I move to close the meeting.
Second, is there any dissent to ending this meeting early? I think this is one of the only times we've ended early, but I feel like we went through a lot of stuff.
It was jam-packed. Good job, everyone.
Yeah. Well, seeing no dissent, I will give you guys back 24 minutes of your day. Thank you so much for the engagement, the discussion, and the updates. It's been really great. Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.